I want to talk this morning about gardens and weeds and stuff like that. And look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Look at that, John. Look at all that purple kale. Wouldn't you love just go in there and pick that and fry that up with some trout and your coconut oil and just, there's some cabbage there. There's a lot of good stuff in that garden, huh? Isn't that a nice garden? Wouldn't everybody like a garden like that? Come on. Everybody, I would love to have people drive up to my driveway and say, wow, this is your, yeah, that's my garden, yeah? That's my garden, man. Problem is, Click. No, it's in the, why isn't it advancing? There we go. Tom, I might have to have you do this for me. And that's cool, because Tom does a great job. Problem is this tends to be what the reality is in our life. See, that's a garden, but it's got a bunch of stuff growing in it that just chokes out all the good stuff. Now, that's what weeds do. Weeds, they find places to grow where they weren't planted. They start choking out the good stuff in your life. They rob nutrients and resources. They take water and they take nutrients. They get in the way. And they stop you from being able to do what you're supposed to do in life. Next slide, please. Oh, okay. Thank you. Okay, let's go back. I want to talk this morning about weeds. These things are distractions, steal your time and energy, and they give you a lot of frustration. It's very frustrating. See how frustrated that guy is? He's frustrated. Yeah! The two weeds I'm going to focus on this morning are fear and unforgiveness. Fear, the what if, and unforgiveness is like a chain that weights around your ankle and keeps you from moving forward in this life. Now, there are different kinds of fear. There's fear of the unknown, the what if fear. Fear of the known. That's when you see your checkbook and you realize rent's due Monday. And there's not enough to pay rent. That's legitimate fear. The spirit of fear. That's when you could have done something like say somebody asked, you know, like say at work somebody asked Rico, hey, Rico, could you sing Amazing Grace for us? And Rico knows Amazing Grace. And then he gets all afraid to. That'd be a spirit because Rico knows how to sing that. The spirit of fear is a spirit that acts upon you when you should know how to do something. It should be, I got this. But all of a sudden, this petrifying, this like fear comes upon you, and you can't do what you normally do. Now, that's a spirit. And it's usually centered around the devil wanting to keep you from sharing your testimony or sharing the good news of the gospel. So we're going to deal with that this morning. Psalms. Wow, this is really messed up, guys. Sorry. It said, all right. Go back to, oh, there we go. Now let me see if I can get to the next one. Okay, it's not even pulling up my scriptures. Okay, wow. All right, I'm just going to go with my notes, because that didn't transfer right, apparently. All right. So fear of the unknown, the what-if fear. The what-if fear is that fear, and in my opinion, it is the fear that takes the most energy out of your life. It's the what-if. What if this happens? What if that happens? I remember a time when this was, if you remember back in history, this might be before even some of your time, Gulf War I. Remember Gulf War I? See, Gulf War I, Saddam Hussein sent troops into Kuwait to steal some oil, right? And they were concerned, the big fear, we had a big panel at our church, and a bunch of people who've been studying the Bible for years said, well, Saddam is going to shoot missiles at Israel, Israel will shoot missiles back, and it'll start World War III or Armageddon. Well, obviously, we're sitting here, so it didn't happen, right? And we're all concerned about this Brexit thing, Great Britain leaving the European Union. I remember a time when they said, if the European Union comes and combines their currency, It is going to destroy the value of the American dollar, and we will be a third world country financially. Now we got countries leaving the European Union, and we're still here. So was there any reason to be afraid of that? I might as well wear a helmet because something might fall from the ceiling and hit me in the head. It's worthless fear. And it says in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." It says his peace. So we don't need to worry about the unknown, okay? The unknown is unacceptable. We don't need to know that. Fear of the known. Like I said, it was about how you look in your checkbook. And you see there's not enough money to pay rent, right? And you're like, well, there's not enough money to pay rent. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Well, you do what you always do. How many people here have, if you can raise your hand and say, I've been in a season far worse than the season I'm currently in? Wow. And you made it. So was there any reason to truly spend that energy being afraid of that season? There wasn't. It says in Philippians 4:6-7, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, by thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts in Christ and Lord Jesus." Amen? Okay, you're behind on rent. Correct the behaviors that got you there if it was behaviors, and just praise God and know that he is going to get you through this season. We've all been through it. The spirit of fear. That spirit of fear is that one where something that you should normally be able to do, and yet you find yourself tongue-tied. You're like, I had a guy the other day at work. It came upon me. They said, "Did you really do all those drugs?" And I said, "Yeah." And there's some new guys in the truck. And how'd you get over that? Did you just quit? And I says, "Well, Jesus helped me I should be able to share that easy." Be able to say it's because I gave my heart back to Jesus Christ and he set me free of all that stuff. But that I got all, fear of man, and the devil comes upon that spirit and says, oh, I'm going to keep you from sharing that gospel. I'm going to keep you from doing that. It says in Romans 8:15, "For you did not receive a spirit of fear, but you received a spirit of sonship, to whom we cry, Abba, Father." There we go. Abba, Father. That's the spirit. Recognize that. That's not a shortcoming with you, okay? Don't ever feel ashamed like, oh man, I should have been more bold about my testimony. Sometimes that's the spirit working against you. Hey, to have an opponent means you're a danger. Come on. You don't oppose a team if you're not worried about them beating you. And the devil's scared to death of you beating him. Amen? And here's another way to do it. "I have set the Lord continually before me because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken." If everything in your life about fear, if you put Christ in front of it, like he's driving a truck in front of me clearing the way, he's like the advance team. He's going before me. Nothing happens to you that he didn't know was you were going to go through. Now, he doesn't maybe know how you're going to react to it because he gives us this thing called free will, but he gives us a chance to react either way to it. But he goes before us clearing the way, saying, okay, we're going to go down this road. Now, Jesse may react badly to this or he might react great to this, but I've cleared the way. I'm going to get him through this. Everything I'm going to talk about this morning is unforgiveness, why it's so dangerous. This is ivy. Now, I don't know if you've seen this a lot, but it grows around Doug fir trees and other trees. Doug fir is a very strong tree. But ivy, this little plant, will grow up around it and choke the life out of it. And I've seen big, huge Douglas fir trees that are 50 years old drop dead. They just are dead because it wasn't dealt with. And if it would have been dealt with in the beginning, we do it all the time at work. We go down around the bottom of the tree with a pair of hand pruners, just a single pair of hamburger. It does nothing industrial, just click, 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 and cut it and pull it away and keep it from climbing up that tree. That's all it would have taken to save all these trees. But because nobody did that, it grows and it grows and it grows until it chokes the life out of that tree. That is what I believe unforgiveness does in our life. It is the only way, as far as what I've seen in the Word of God, it is the only place in the Word of God I see God saying, I can't forgive you because you didn't forgive them. Now, that's a scary place to be. I don't want God to say, I can't forgive you, Tom. It's serious. When we choose not to forgive, we are out of compliance with our arrangement with Christ. See, Christ made an arrangement with me. He said, Tom, you're out of relationship with me. And you're destined to go into darkness without me. I'll take you. I'll take all of your faults. I'll take all your nonsense. I'll take all your bad stuff. And I'll give you a new life in me. But in exchange, you surrender your right to be unforgiving. My right to be unforgiving because somebody went with Christ onto the cross. I don't get to say, well, I have a right to be mad at them because they were... No, I don't. Because Christ took that. That was part of the package. No, I get everything, Tom. I get everything. So if I'm picking that up, I'm out of compliance. It says, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. It also says in James, one more scripture down, it says, James 2:13, for judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. That's what it says. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So if we don't show mercy, he can't do that. It says our personal prayers are hindered. See, it says, the next scripture up is, back up one. Here we go. And when you stand to pray, if you hold anything against another, forgive it so that your Father in heaven will forgive your trespasses as well. So in other words, say I'm there praying, Lord, I really need that promotion at work. I need to make some more money, get some better benefits. And God's like, I'd love to do that for you, Tom. But you're still mad at Derek. You're still mad at Derek for no good reason, because he didn't do anything other than what people do. You've done the same thing. You've been just as guilty, but I'm not going to forgive Derek. I don't even like Derek. I'm mad at Derek. And you're asking me for a favor at your job. And God's like, I can't do that, Tom. You might as well be praying to a wall, because I'm not going to hear that in that area unless it. The one stipulation would be this, is when you're praying for something that is in God's will that has nothing to do with you. God's not going to withhold healing from Gwen because I haven't forgiven Derek if I'm praying for Gwen's healing. Because God said, I'm not going to punish her for you being an idiot, Tom. You know? But as far as my personal thing, the things I want in my life, I'm hindering them when I don't forgive. When we judge, we're judged by the standard we judge. Now, there's a mouthful. Say it really fast. When we judge, we are judged by the standard we judge. So in other words, I judge. I say, I see somebody, and they, I saw John. He took $20 out of my wallet, stole it from me. I'm not going to forgive him. Not going to forgive him for that. I'm choosing not to forgive him because he took money from me. He didn't even say he was sorry. Then I go into work. Boss, hey, Tom, come in the office for a minute. Yeah? Well, I saw you on the side of the road the other day, and you looked like you were using your own phone. Yeah? Well, you know that personal phone calls are prohibited. You're fired. You're suspended. Boss, give me some mercy, man. It was an important phone call. No. See, we put ourselves in that judgment seat, and by that measure, we are judged. So when we're wanting some favor from our boss, have we given favor to our brothers and sisters? It's in the Word of God, man. I didn't come up with this stuff. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. For judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. We slow down or stop the progress of becoming like Christ. I know a lot of you came to Christ for different reasons. Some people came to Christ for healing. Some came to Christ for a purpose. Some came to Christ for forgiveness. Some came to Christ for eternal things. But all this changes when we become like Christ. Everything is included when we become like Christ. In fact, Christ wants us to be like Him because we are literally the representation of Jesus Christ on this earth right now. Jesus looked like a fisherman. Okay? The reason Judas had to identify Him because He wasn't wearing a white robe with a blue sash. We do that in plays, but He looked like the rest of them because Judas wouldn't have had to betray Him. He looked like every other person. Do you look like most of the people you're around? You look kind of like everybody on your neighborhood, everybody at your work. You look kind of, you don't really stand out, like you don't have a halo. You don't walk in and there's like this aura around you. You just look like, yeah. That's on purpose because Christ wants the glory to Himself. But you are the representation of Jesus Christ on this earth. You look like Jesus to them when you show them the Christ in you. And when we don't forgive, we slow down that process. Eventually, if we stay on this earth long enough, there should be a point when I don't see Rico, I see Christ embodying the body of Rico. If we stay long enough, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the glory of the Lord are being transformed into His image with intensifying glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. That is the goal. We become like Christ. People say, I like that person. I like that. I want that. Can't do that. They don't want unforgiveness. They don't want bitterness. How do we get rid of these weeds? We pull them. We kill them. We prepare the ground so they won't grow. It's my coworker, Fernando. You notice where he's at. He's pulling those weeds. That's horsetail, by the way. Pesky little plant. But look where he's at to get the weeds. What did he have to do? Sometimes you got to humble yourself. You got to say, God, I need you to get this out of my life. And it's not coming out of my life without me on my knees. And you manually pull it out of the ground. It says, pray in the Spirit at all times with every kind of prayer and petition. To this end, stay alert with all perseverance in your prayers for all the saints. You need to get rid of the weeds. And sometimes it comes out by getting down on your knees and saying, God, I don't want this in my life anymore. There's no other choice but me. You can't skill it out. You can't wish it out. You got to pray it out. We kill them. We kill them. And Jesus said, seeing a fig tree along the road, He went up to it, but found nothing except leaves. May you never bear fruit again, He said. Immediately the tree withered. Anybody heard of Roundup? The chemical Roundup? Or Monsanto's favorite cash cow product? Monsanto makes a lot of money. And here's how Roundup works. You spray Roundup on it. It goes inside the plant down to the very roots, and it kills it from the very roots. That's why it's so good. That's why once you spray something with it, you don't see it for a good long time. But when was the last time you said to that something in your... Jesus didn't go up to that fig tree because He wanted an analogy. I think He actually wanted a fig. And He was mad when that fig tree was misrepresenting what it was. You should have had fruit, and you didn't. Now, I wonder how many things in your life are a plant that looks good, but it has no fruit. I mean, you know, just saying. Is there something in your life that is taking energy and resources, and you're letting it take energy and resources out of your life, but it's not bearing fruit, and you know it's not going to? You've recognized that. When was the last time you take the authority of Christ and say something, I curse that thing in my life that takes resources but is not going to give me any fruit. It's not, no, you're out of here. You're done. You need to take that authority. You need to kill the things in your life that don't bring fruit into your life. We prepare the ground so they don't grow. How we prepare the ground in the weed culture is called pre-emergent. I don't know if any of you have seen it, but we, have you ever put plastic, black plastic over your garden and then put the bark on top of it? Well, we spray a thing called pre-emergent. It's a chemical that basically does the same thing chemically, only you don't have to dig up the soil, you just spray it on top. It forms a barrier so that when those little weed seeds start to grow, they get choked out. They don't get the oxygen to continue to grow. That's what we spray to keep them from even popping up. Well, I can't think of anything better to keep stuff from growing in your life than being filled with the Word of God. It's hard to talk bad about somebody when you're talking good about somebody. I think, here's an interesting experience. Say, I want you all to picture that person in your life, and you know who they are, that just drives you nuts. I mean, they just, oh, I wish they would get it. Oh, they just, and y'all got a picture, right? You, that person, that one particular person. I want you to do a little experiment. I want you to pray for them for a week. And not like you pray for them, but the way you would pray for you. Lord, I pray the blessings of God would be upon them. I pray they would receive favor. I pray that they would have divine appointments with people that could put them up and elevate them. I pray that it would go well for them at their job. I pray that it would go well for them in their relationship. Try that for a week and see how much you talk bad about them. See how much you have trouble forgiving them when you've talked to them the way Christ, with what Christ wants for their life. Amen? It says, make every effort to present yourself approved to God, an unashamed workman who accurately handles the word of truth. How accurately do we handle the word of truth? And it says, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. I mean, I've meditated some afternoons, to be honest, especially when I'm preparing a message. I meditate on the word. But day and night? Wow. Maybe I've been missing some things, you know? Because if you fill yourself up with the Word of God in that way, it's hard for those things to grow. Because you know, you got the Word of God in you, not that other stuff. You don't have time for all that. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. There's day and night again. What is the thing with day and night? So that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. Up to you guys. Do you want this? Which garden do you want, man? All right, Jesse.
That was a blessing, Tom. That was a blessing. That was really great. as Tom's passing out some discussion points for us right now, the cool thing about that message, everybody in this room is going to have something. Everybody in this room is going to have something. Okay, so it'll be fun as we pass these along. Let's give all the tables here some time to get familiar.